Yes. Good morning, everybody. It is so good to see all of you here today, and wanted to let you know that we are looking to open up some of our adult and youth Sunday school classes, and so if your class or group would like to submit a plan, if you'll turn that in, we'll do our very best to try to process all of those. And we are still holding off right now as we're trying to adjust our schedule a little bit for the 9:15 Sunday school hour. But all other times should be open. And so if you'll just submit a plan, we'll try to work all of our groups together as well as we can. We wanted to let you know we got some volunteer opportunities for you, particularly because we're ramping our worship back up. We might be able to use another person or two to help us register attendance. And then you might have noticed that we're trying to set up live stream capabilities, and so we're probably going to need some volunteers that would help us do that. And we're trying to figure out whether live stream is the best or if we want to do our pre-recorded thing. So we certainly appreciate all that Michael has done to help us make sure that we communicate with you throughout everything that we've been doing. We are working on our next project for our shut-ins, and it is a butterfly card. And I would say, particularly if you have got a child that likes to color, or I used to think it was only adults that colored. Now I'm finding out that it was only children that like to color. But I'm finding out there's a lot of adults that like to do it too. But we've got some cards that are out there in the narthex on the table. And if you'd like to take one of those and prepare them, Lee Travis will put them together and make a card for us that we can distribute to our shut-ins. Wanted to let you know our Holy Week plans beginning Thursday, April the 1st at 7. We're going to have our Monday Thursday service. Then on Friday at 7, we'll have our Good Friday service. And then on Easter Sunday, we're planning on having two contemporary services and three traditional services. And what we'd like to ask you to do is if you would register for which service that you think you'd like to come to, just to make sure that we're going to have enough staff and volunteers lined up for that. We wanted to say thank you so much for all you've done to help support our church financially through these unusual times that we're in. It has certainly helped keep our programs and our ministers running. And so if you give online or drop your tithes off in our drop box, that's wonderful. But I wanted to let you know that if you brought an offering for this morning, we've got a basket right outside this door, and we've got one right by the back door. And then finally, I just wanted to say that since the weather is so wonderful outside, the safest thing for us to do after the service would be over would be to recess out row by row. And then if you've got somebody that you want to talk to, if you wouldn't mind doing that outside, just so that we make sure that we're doing the best job that we can on our social distancing. But we are thrilled that you're here with us today, and we ask that you would prepare your hearts for worship.
Thank you. Please stand for the reading of the affirmation of faith in the scripture. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. The scripture reading today comes from Mark 12, verses 41 to 44. Jesus sat across from the collection box for the temple treasury and observed how the crowd gave their money. Many rich people were throwing in lots of money. One poor widow came forward and put in two small copper coins worth a penny. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I assure you that this poor widow has put in more than everyone who's been putting money in the treasury. All of them are giving out of their spare change, but she, from her hopeless poverty, has given everything she had, even what she needed to live on." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Maybe some good song.
Thank you. Friends, would you bow with me in prayer? Holy God, how good it is to be in your house today, gathered together as your children, brothers and sisters in Christ. We give you thanks for the reading and hearing of your word this morning and for the ways in which your word edifies our lives. So now, O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts together be holy and acceptable in your sight, for you are our Lord, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. So we all know the 10% rule. Even if you have never darkened the door of a church, you probably have heard of the 10% rule. People hear it on TV from preachers and memes and internet posts. It's safe to know to say that we all know this rule. And it's a rule, not a guideline or a suggestion. The 10% tithe rule was originally given to us in Leviticus 27:30. A tenth of the produce of the land, whether grain or fruit, is the Lord's and is holy. Now, this law, of course, was written for the Israelites as they were creating a new society in the promised land that they had journeyed to out of Egypt. A society that was to become a complete opposite of the way that they had lived in Egypt. A society based on the abundance that God would freely and lovingly provide for them. As a token of gratitude, the people were to give back to the Lord a portion in thanksgiving for the 10% that they got, the 90% that they got to keep. Later, after the temple was built and priests were ordained and corporate worship became a regular part of their life, these tithes were still to be given as a sign of their gratitude. But now they were to be given in order to support those who were living in the community who had very little, in particular, the widows, the orphan, and those who were considered outsiders. There are numerous places in Scripture that command us to care for the widow. Take, for instance, this verse from Zechariah. Do not oppress the widow, the fatherless, the sojourner, or the poor, and let none of you devise evil against another in your heart. Just as we all know the 10% rule, many of us have probably also known a widow like this that we find in our story. I'll tell you the story of my widow, Eve. I met Eve on a mission trip with our youth group from First United Methodist in Maryville, Tennessee. We went to Marion, Virginia to help build a ramp for Eve through Project Crossroads, which is a pretty similar ministry to the Jubilee Project in Sneedville. We had a great week together in the mountains of Virginia in the middle of July. So our assignment was to rebuild a ramp for Eve. You see, what had happened is a group had come previously in the summer to build Eve a ramp. And Eve's trailer, it was a single-wide trailer, had been there for almost ever, it seemed like, for most people in that community. And a nicer home was built on one side of Eve, and another nicer home was built on the other side of Eve. Well, when this handicap ramp was put on Eve's trailer, one neighbor decided that she was going to reassess the property line. And about three quarters of an inch of Eve's ramp crossed over that property line. And because Eve's home was a bit of an eyesore, that neighbor saw it as her opportunity to get Eve out. So she was going to sue Eve if that handicap ramp was not removed from her property. So the task for our youth group that week was to dismantle the ramp and completely move the ramp so that it was not touching anyone else's property. You see, Eve didn't want to leave that home because it's where she shared her life with her husband. It's where they did everything together from the time that they first got married until his death just a few years before we got there. All that Eve had in her life was that trailer, the few belongings, and her cat named Boogers. Yes, her cat was named Boogers. Our youth did an incredible job that week of dismantling and rebuilding. Many of them had never held power tools before in their lives. Many of them had never done any kind of construction project before in their lives. It was great to watch them. And I enjoyed spending some time with Eve inside her home that week. Again, I learned about her and the life that she shared with her husband. And it would not be an exaggeration to say that Eve loved to talk. But I'm not sure that she had had a real conversation with much of anyone in years. She lived a modest life, and when her husband retired, it became even more modest. And when he passed away, she became nearly destitute. So it really was just her and boogers in that small little home, living off of Social Security and what little she had in retirement. In the gospel, Jesus sees Eve dropping her last coin in that tithing box, the last coin with which she should have bought home bread or a new blanket or made a much-needed repair to her home. But you see, Eve knew the law. She's commanded to give, to tithe. But Jesus calls this into question. In the previous passage, Jesus also sees the scribes, the temple officials, who walk around the temple like they own the place, wearing fine robes, sitting in seats of honor, fat from eating at so many well-fed banquets. And Jesus accuses them of devouring the house of widows. When you try and picture the scribe in your mind, I want you to think of those pastors who are driving Lamborghinis, riding around in great big jets, living in mansions. Those who are wearing the finest clothes and own more than he or she could ever hope to enjoy. Jesus sees the scribes and he sees the widow dropping in her last mite. Her last mite that will go to make the life of the scribe and the Pharisee a little bit more luxurious. But you see, in God's economy, those who receive more are asked to give more, so that those who receive less give the rich more opportunity to be generous. But none of that can take place if we don't stop and look around to see Eve. I know nothing of what it have been to be that widow in today's gospel lesson. She was without voice, without legal standing, without resources, without anything at all that I so take for granted. Indeed, I imagine the widow in our story now is invisible to most in the temple that afternoon. No one actually really saw her that day. Even Jesus' disciples didn't really see her. Instead, our eyes are often drawn to the attention of those wearing the robes, those who are powerful. And yet Jesus takes time to see her, and his heart is moved by her plight. Yes, she and others are obeying the law, but the law has little capacity to show compassion and change the hearts and the lives. And while Eve has been traditionally lifted up as a model of generosity throughout the ages, I think Jesus is pointing out to his disciples and to us the disparity between the rich and the poor and those who fall through the gaps in the law. My own Eve, the widow in Virginia, had her moment of wanting to offer back for what had been given to her. She wanted to treat our kids for restoring her ability to get in and out of her home safely. I, of course, politely declined her offer and thanked her for letting us spend time with her that week. And with boogers, of course. I told her we did it not for money or reward, but because we loved her, and more importantly, because God loves her. We did it because we saw her and because God saw her. This God that we worship sees all of us. This God cares about this woman and our sacrifice and her sacrifice. This God saw her plight and recognized her affliction. So this story today reminds us that God will not countenance abuse, even and especially under the guise of religious piety. And so Jesus is decrying those who would order their world and religion to make such sacrifices necessary. God sees her and God cares for her. So why do I tithe to the church? Because I see George, who walks down the streets of Morristown hungry on a regular basis. I've seen the women in the jail ministry wrestling with addiction and wondering where God is in their own lives. I see places around the world where the United Methodist Church is offering healing to those who are broken, voiceless, and destitute. I give because I see how the church helps us see each other. And I mean really see each other. We have had to learn how to see one another in new ways during this pandemic. But I have seen you love each other so well. But we've also had to see the pain of those who are discriminated against because of their ethnicity, the desolation of those who cannot find work and have been abandoned to fend for themselves, the despair of those who have given up finding work and have lost hope, the anguish of those who have been exploited by sex traffickers. But God is inviting us to see them, to care for them, to advocate for a system that does not leave anyone behind. So let us go into the world and seek those who are never seen or heard. Let us not only see them, but walk alongside them and love them as God's kingdom bids us to love. Let us pray. O God, help us to see. Help us to see like you see, so that we might love as you love. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We'd like to lift a few people in prayer this morning. Tom and Ben Moon are continuing to recover from some of their various ailments. Gary Connery has been recuperating from his home this week. Ben and Misty Graham Stapleton's parents have got health issues, and then Misty is going to be having some surgery on her foot tomorrow, so be in prayer for her tomorrow morning. Mitch Robinson, I'm happy to report, was able to go home from the hospital. We've been asked to be in prayer for Tiffany Pollock's sister, Zasa Ballard, who is recovering from surgery in Nashville. Darius and Irma Doyle's grandson, Ryan, was in a serious automobile accident last week and has had several surgeries since then and had one yesterday. Bill Grigsby is having, some health issues that he's dealing with. And then Marcia Easley has found out that she is on hospice care, and so we want to lift her up in our prayers. Our condolences go out to Jean Spakes in the death of her brother George Brooks, who died on the 28th, and that is also Laura Blair's uncle. And then condolences to the family of Don Turley. He died on Friday, and his gravesite is going to be on Tuesday. And if you'd like to sign the family registry, you can go by Allen Funeral Home anytime on Monday afternoon and express your concern for them. And then we know that we've got several others who are dealing with health issues, and many of those remain private at this time. And though we may not know all the details about some of those situations, we are assured that God knows. But let us go to God in prayer. Holy and gracious Father, we know that we live in a community full of Eves. There are people that are doing their very best to just keep their head above water, and we know that many of us in this sanctuary this morning have been doubly blessed, that God has blessed us beyond our wildest dreams. And so we pray that we would be not only generous to our church, but to other organizations that seek to serve those in our community. Father, we pray that you would continue to help us be people of vision,
to not be satisfied that things will always be the way that they are now, but to be people who are looking for ways to lift up those who need a helping hand. We know that many people need to have responsibility, and we know that there are people who have fallen into problems of their own making. And yet we recognize that all of us have been the beneficiaries of grace. There's been somebody who has stepped into our lives to help us when it seemed as if we were at the end of our rope. Father, we pray that you would bless the United Methodist Church. We pray that you would bless the church in general. We pray that you would make yourself known in every corner of our world. But we thank you today, most of all, for what we receive through Christ. And we pray now together the prayer that he taught us by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
You to stand as you're able to receive the benediction this morning. The good news of the gospel is that Jesus was all about seeing people. And we are here today because we know that God has seen us and that God loves us. Despite all of our faults and failures, God still loves us. So as we go out into the world this day, may we look for those who need that little reminder that God sees them and God loves them. Go in love and peace and joy. Amen.